everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? Today's date is May 17th, 2017, and this is episode 47. I'm your host, Carrie, and joining me this week, as always, is that dynamic yet sometimes bickering duo, Kent and Russ. Hi, guys. How you doing this week?
It's a solid intro. I like being the dynamic duo of bickering. Call Kent Bitchman and call me,
Robin.
I guess Robin. I don't know. I was trying to think of something insulting.
You're still Robin.
Yeah. I was going to try to think of something that was less insulting.
I'd still rather be Bitchman than Robin.
That's true. Damn.
Did you borrow that shovel from Triple H?
I was about to say, I painted myself into a corner and I wish I didn't.
Listeners, if this is your first time listening to us, or even if you are a regular listener, but you know, need a reminder about what we're all about, the three of us recap and discuss the week in wrestling. In addition to that, we have some fun segments that we'd like to share with you. And with that, let's get started with a word from this week's Raw recap sponsor, Russ's Man Crush of the Week.
All right, so Man Crush of the Week. This is a simple and quick one. It's going to Titus O'Neil. My God, that man looks good in a suit. I'm not going to lie. Sharp and debonair. That's the way to go. And not to mention, he wrestled in that suit. Okay, first of all, had to have been at least a $1,200, $1,300 suit. So, at least that's what he told us. And he wrestled in it. So, I'm just going to say this. Kudos, sir. You looked fabulous, even though you lost. You looked great doing it. That's my man crush of the week.
Great pick, Russ. I hear you. He looked good this week.
You know what's funny? In the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, Kent called it before I was even... I was calling it, and I saw Kent call me out on it. So, kudos, Kent.
It had to be done. It did.
So you're just avoiding getting yelled at by Kent.
No, I was seriously already to pick him. Nope, I was already to pick him, I promise. He looked so
Either way, smart move. So
no, I wanna bring up something that I just like within like 20 minutes ago I talked to your husband while gaming, Carrie, and I said, screw it. If I'm 2 minutes late, it's my podcast anyways, and they're like, Whoa. They'll get offended. I'm like, if these people get offended from that sentence alone after everything I've ever said to either of you guys, wow, my mind was a little bit blown there. So
times have changed.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, times have changed. People get offended too easily now.
I concur.
This is very true. Very, very true. So anyways, guys, Raw this week, we had a few things happen, and I want to get your thoughts on some of this stuff, guys. First up, let's talk about the announcement of the Fatal 5-Way number one contenders match at Extreme Rules for the Universal, a shot at the Universal title. Just to recap for our listeners, Kurt Angle this week announced in the opening segment of Raw that Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Bray Wyatt, and Roman Reigns would face off in a Fatal 5-Way match at Extreme Rules, and the winner would face Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. And in addition to that announcement, two matches were also made for the night, with Seth facing Bray for the first time ever, one-on-one on the main roster, and a Finn and Roman rematch. Overall, guys, I thought the matches were decent, the announcement was okay. I'm kind of hoping for a Brock versus Joe match, but expecting a Reigns versus Brock match at some point down the road. So, Kent, what did you think?
Well, I just want to make sure everybody here knows that it's a first time ever historic Fatal 5-Way.
Yeah, hold on. Time. I did not know this at all. What are you guys talking about? I did not hear any mention of this at all.
Okay, so you remember how, like, the women's division, everything that they did from, like, you know, combing their hair and getting their hair done and painting their nails was historic. Right. Well, that's what they're doing with this match. It's very historic. It's first time ever. It doesn't prove anything. It just proves whoever gets lucky at the end. Like, it's not, you know, based on talent. It's not based on, like, an elimination, which would make a lot of sense. No, it's just about whoever's most opportunistic and whoever they want to write to face Brock. Wow. I I really just didn't care about Raw for the most part, with the exception of a handful of segments. This Fatal 5-Way is already boring the piss on me. What? I'm curious, like, what was the backup plan? Because there was obviously an odd man out with Braun. So who would have been the odd man out? You know what I mean? Braun versus Brock was going to happen. That leaves five guys to have two feuds. So who is going to be the odd man out? Because obviously there's not going to be an odd man out moving forward for months.
Well, there would have been Seth and Joe. That's those two. Bray and Finn. There's those two. Who's the only, who was the other person in this thing?
Roman.
Oh, Roman's in this? Oh, Roman. Roman. Yeah. Roman would have been out.
It's his yard, Ross.
That's true. I forgot.
His yard.
Listen, I didn't know anything about this. Like I said, if they mentioned it, I didn't hear it the 50 billion times they mentioned it.
Late breaking news. It's his historic Fatal 5-Way first time ever match. Yeah. We need everybody to know this. Yes. How many weeks do we have to listen to this shit? Like, is it another, like, 3 weeks?
I think it's three weeks. Because...
Oh, no, there's three more. Yeah, that's right. This one counting would have been four.
Well, I look at it this way. Extreme Rules is in Baltimore on my birthday weekend. No, I am not going, listeners, but it is on my birthday weekend, and my birthday is 3 weeks away.
Right, okay, I say beginning of June.
So, wait, why aren't you going?
Because it's in Baltimore.
Yeah. She's a Virginia head or a Maryland head. I don't friggin' know.
Well, I mean, Baltimore's in Maryland. 45. Yeah, and I live in Maryland, and I'm 45 minutes away. But I'm saving my money because Raw's in D.C. in late July.
I still but think anyway. I'd rather watch Backlash.
So, are we not excited about the potential matchups here, guys? I mean, we got... possibility of Brock versus Finn, Brock versus Seth, Brock versus Joe. I mean, I'm not excited about
there's
Brock
only
versus Finn, but
one person winning this, Finn Balor, and they've already dealt their hand, and you can already tell they dealt their hand. Oh, you want to hear it out? Okay, it's definitely not going to be Roman. Can we all agree with that?
I disagree with you already, so I'm curious about
okay,
your logic.
Here's my logic on it. This is my logic on it. It's got to be Finn, because here's what I'm thinking. It's not going to be Roman, because they're holding off on that like a crazy person. So I think that's going to be WrestleMania. So yay, we got a whole 6 or 10 months before that happens. Bray and Finn have not interacted with each other, so their feud is stopped. Okay, so now it can be either Bray or Finn. Seth and Joe are out, because their feud's still continuing, because they're still interrupting each other's matches. So clearly their feud is continuing on. So, that leaves either Finn or Bray, like I said. I don't see it being Bray. So, and everybody keeps on saying Finn and Seth are going to take on Brock before Roman does for a little bit of a feud. So, since it's not Seth, I'm going with Finn. It's got to be.
How about you, Kent? What do you think? Because I don't want to see Finn facing Brock. Not because I don't, I just don't think it's going to be a good match.
Well, yeah, it's not.
It's not going to be a good match. Finn really doesn't match up with some of the bigger names on Raw, which kind of makes me think that Finn may should have gone to SmackDown, just tossing that out there. I think it's going to be Seth. Brock and Seth have already had a match featuring Cena. Now, something that they could do is they could have a double pin at the Fatal 5-Way, the historic first time ever Fatal 5-Way, in which Finn and Seth both get a pin, and that way it'll kind of help Brock in his match, because Brock does bad in one-on-ones as of late. He's much better when there's two other guys to work with, so why not do both guys, and then the loser can be like, hey, Brock, Great Balls of Fire, or SummerSlam, whatever the fuck it is. You know, then they can build off of that. So that would buy both guys some time to see who's got less ring rust at that point. So I'm going to go with Seth, but I'm going to actually say it's going to be both Seth and Finn winning.
That's a possibility, too.
But Samoa Joe is not going to win.
No.
Under no circumstances.
Nope.
Like, he's the new Bray Wyatt of winning.
Yep. He's awesome in every way.
So with that being said, should we just have, I don't know, Bray and Samoa Joe feud? Would that be fun for all of us? I
yes.
wouldn't mind that.
I'm fine. With it. One thing I like about Bray is that he's not aligning with anybody, so they're giving us a a taste of what he can be, face or heel. So
I think the same can be said for Joe. I mean, Joe doesn't have to be an out-and-out heel. Joe and Bray can both be great tweeners. We're talking about a match with three out of the five guys that could be incredible tweeners. And then Seth and Finn. Your boys.
Yeah. Well, Roman's not a tweener. He's a heel.
Roman should be the best tweener out
he
there,
be.
Though.
That's yes.
Like, he's got the I'm the biggest dog in the yard gimmick. That works on both levels of heel and face. It would just work. Bray can just be, hey, I do creepy promos. I'm going to lose a pay-per-view, but I'm going to do a creepy promo the next night, target somebody
he
else.
He didn't lose the last pay-per-view, Kent. Come on. He doesn't lose them all. He won the House of Whores.
We all won the House of Whores.
We certainly did.
Fair enough.
Now, hold on. I just want to make sure. Kent, can you please tell me, what is this match type again, and why is what's important about it? I forgot.
Well, for the first time, not the second time, not the third time, not the five time. No, this is the first time ever. Five man. Fatal five-way fuckery. God damn it. So bad.
Man, I could have... If I could have fast-forwarded every time they said that, I'd have been done with Raw in 5 minutes.
I do want to say this. I was hell-bent on proving that Seth and Bray had faced each other, so I went through, like, all the TV. Nope, could not disprove it. And it's all because Seth turned heel so shortly after the Shield went face that there's a small gap of time in which mainly Seth's matches were against Batista or Orton. And really, that feud just didn't happen very long. It wasn't historic enough.
No.
And therein lies the shame of the whole situation, which I kind of allude to in the blog at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. So, with that being said, unless you guys got something else, let's move on to the next topic, shall we? And let's discuss this week what happened this week with Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews. And Enzo and Cass, too, I guess. So, just to recap for our listeners, the segment started with some back-and-forth mic work between Titus and Apollo and Enzo and Big Cass. This exchange led to a match between Titus and Big Cass, with Titus being caught off guard because he wasn't expecting to be in a match and was in a suit, and in turn wrestling in a suit. Anyway, so the match resulted in Big Cass getting the win, but what happened after the match probably shocked a few people. And what I'm talking about is Apollo taking out Enzo with a kick after Enzo tried to take a selfie with Titus after the match. Overall, guys, I thought this was a great segment. It made Enzo and Cass almost look less annoying. But most importantly, it made people actually take notice of not just Titus, but also Apollo Crews. And quite frankly, I feel Apollo needed that recognition and possibly the heel turn that resulted in came from that kick, I guess. So, Russ, what were your thoughts on all of this?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because honestly, I thought it was one of the better segments. Titus at first really annoyed me with the Titus brand. It was really badly done when they first brought it out, and it was so aggravating to see someone like Titus. I've always liked Titus. In fact, we'll talk about him later on. But I've always liked Titus, and I felt really bad for him ever since he got suspended for something stupid, and then just they've been killing his character. And then they brought this Titus brand thing, and I was like, oh my god, this is the stupidest thing ever, especially with New Day. Just kept on doing it. But kudos to him. He's making it work now. They've changed it enough to make it kind of interesting. I like how he's chosen Apollo as kind of his disciple a little bit. And I like how Apollo's kind of falling into line with it. It's really interesting and intriguing. I'm kind of hoping they stick with it for at least a couple of months. Maybe make them a tag team. God knows we need it. Get them both going. But what I really liked was this. People did start noticing Apollo, especially when he did that flip awesome kick on Enzo and right in the face. That was beautifully done. I want to say it's a Pele kick. Is that what do they call it? Because I know it's like Pele kick for AJ.
Wasn't that the Enziguri?
Was it an Enziguri? I wasn't sure. It was still fantastically done. And let's face it, whenever you get to kick Enzo in the face, kind of puts you into my good book for the day. So, crowd reacted. That was key. Overall, great segment. I really, like I said, Titus looked great losing. So, it was fantastic.
So what do you see just long-term for those two? I mean, I think tag team's a good way for them to start, but maybe do we see them feuding down the road?
Well, if the tag team takes off well enough, I would have to say yes. Eventually they will feud with each other, keeping Titus the heel, maybe turning Apollo face at that point. Depends on what's going on. But honestly, if it's working and they're a great heel team, keep them together. They don't have to feud. They can separate them even and still keep them both heels.
Why are you calling them a heel team? Was it Enzo and Cass more the heels? Was Titus not the fun, lovable dude, and then Apollo was sticking up for his buddy? I think people are missing out the fact that Enzo and Cass are pulling a fucking Roman Reigns right before our eyes.
Oh,
they're the dickheads
they're
here.
They're totally. And, oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Am I wrong in saying Apollo and Titus could be the faces?
Well, here's the only thing. The reason why it's clearly they're meant to be the heel team because Titus came out so cocky in the beginning thinking that it was Apollo who had the match. That's what they did. Like, he's the cocky asshole. It's like, oh, well, it's Apollo who has the match. No, it's you. So, oh, bitch, you got burned. Snap. That's what it is.
Yeah, but they've been portraying Enzo as a really annoying, obnoxious motherfucker the past 2 months. Intentionally, though. They've been intentionally doing that, starting with when Sheamus did the bro kick on Enzo, and it got a great pop. I think we're in the midst of seeing Enzo and Cass turning heel, and I don't necessarily know if Titus and Apollo are the heels here.
Well, that'd be interesting to know. I think, don't you think, though, that Apollo needs to go do something other than what he's been doing?
Well, I think like 3 months ago we talked about the need for Apollo to find a mentor. None of us would have really saw Titus, but Titus also was in need of a change, and this is just working out for both guys.
It is winning. It is winning.
So, good for... I mean, this is a rare time that we'll get to say this. First time ever, possibly.
Historic.
Raw is doing what SmackDown couldn't do.
Yeah, historic.
Making Apollo Crews matter.
That's historic.
So what you're saying is they're making Apollo Crews great again?
He was never great to begin with. They're making Apollo Crews matter.
That should be on a t-shirt.
Apollo's life matters.
Oh my god. There are so many implications to that one.
With that being said, Kent, any other further thoughts on this one?
Nope, because my mind's going to a different place right now. It's funny as hell, but I'm not saying anything.
That's good, because the one or two fans we would have had would have left us by this point.
Well, then, let's move on to kind of the last topic I wanted to discuss with you guys from Raw this week. And then we'll move on to our new segment for the week. So this week we saw the feud between Cesaro and the Hardy Boys resume. And Sheamus lost his match against Jeff Hardy. This is after Cesaro was so dominant last week and pretty much steamrolled over the whole division to become number one contenders to the Hardys' tag team titles. If creative is trying to get me to believe that Cesaro is a threat to the tag team titles, they really need to try harder, guys, because I'm not buying it at this point. So, Kent, what do you think about this change in booking, almost?
Well, I thought long and hard about this. Very hard. And what I've come to grips with in this profounding segment is that WWE cares so much that I want to say kudos to Goldust for turning on R-Truth, because that was the second best segment of the night. And Alicia Fox getting a clean pin on Sasha was the third best segment. And I'm really doing the best. I already finished one beer. I'm really trying to forget this whole Cesaro thing's happening right now. So kudos to you, WWE. Go fuck yourselves.
So you don't see them getting the belt from the Hardys at all, do you?
I don't care anymore. Like, honestly, it's a matter of having a calendar and saying, when's the Revival coming back? That's all I care about. That's only thing I care about in the tag team division, because every good thing that they just did with Cesaro last week, as stupid as it was, they made them matter. Cesaro lives mattered in this particular case, and they've just completely wiped out. And God damn it. I'm just, Russ,
well,
you talk.
While Kent was thinking long and hard, I was stroking it. My beard, of course. I was thinking, what is this? It doesn't make sense for Cesaro to rip through the tag team division and then all of a sudden lose in one fell swoop, and not even a good way, to Jeff Hardy. And it makes no sense for the loss. And then it hit me. WWE loves to make the winning team lose right before they win. So I'm thinking it's one of those situations. I think we're going to get Sheamus to lose this week. If Cesaro loses next week to Matt, which we all know that match is happening, right? I mean, do we even have to think it's not?
Will it be historic and first time ever?
Yes, it will be. Well, one-on-one.
Then it matters.
One-on-one. So, I think that if Sheamus or Cesaro loses to Matt, expect the title change at Extreme Rules. Because WWE loves doing that. They just love making the team that's going to take the belts lose. And right now, it makes sense for them to take it anyway, so might as well. They're the hot heel team, even though they come. And if they don't, okay.
Who's taking it?
Cesaro.
Cesaro's taking
it. Yeah, I think they're taking it. If Sheamus or Cesaro.
In what manner are you speaking that they're taking it?
They're taking
it. When the
like, belts.
Are they taking it like we're taking it as the fans?
Oh, no. They're taking the belts.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure because I've been taking it
lately. You have been taking it a lot, yes. Well, that's what happens when you think long and hard.
Oh, that's times when you sit there all day stroking your beard.
Oh, wow. Okay, so with that, looks like two of us aren't buying it with the Cesaro thing. One of us is cautiously optimistic. So I say, unless there's anything else we want to cover for Raw, let's get into this new segment of ours.
Which is...
Well, listeners, we have named this segment The Next Big Thing. And no. We are not talking about Brock.
Long Russ's and hard, beard. My beard, stroking it in The Next Big Thing. What is The Next Big Thing, Carrie?
I just got a clue.
A raging clue.
Oh, wow. So, for our listeners who may still be with us, during this segment, all three of us will take a look at the underutilized or perhaps maybe just overlooked talent on either Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, or NXT. And we're going to choose three superstars from those brands that we feel are going places. And ultimately, in our opinion, within the next year, will become the next big thing. So I'll get us started, guys. So I've decided to go the all-female route for my picks. So my picks are Carmella, Nia Jax, I know you're all going to laugh at that one, and Ember Moon. So I mentioned this in more detail on the blog at 90s.com/wrestling, but I feel that Carmella, with the correct booking, could be in the next Alexa for the SmackDown Women's Division. And then with Nia, I just love where they're going with her. And yeah. I think this thing with Alexa is going to really just bring her out into the mainstream just more. And I want to see more of that. And
yeah, they did so good. It was so good this week. What did Nia do this week?
Absolutely nothing. And with that, I was very bummed that I did not see her this week. But my final pick, guys, and I feel that this woman could be a force to be reckoned with in the women's division when she's called up. I'm talking about Ember Moon. I've seen her a few times in NXT. She's been really dominant, really good. I loved her match with Asuka at the last TakeOver that I watched. Right now, I think she's the next big thing for NXT and is the person who's most deserving for taking over for Asuka when Asuka gets the call-up. So really, those are the three ladies I am throwing my support behind for the next year. How about Kent, how about you? What are your picks?
Now, can we just clarify what the rules were? It has to be main event, or not main event, I'm sorry. They have to make an impact on the main roster, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So,
and Ember Moon is definitely going to make
an impact.
Main roster impact.
I don't know about a main roster one. That's a crazy one. That might be hard.
I think they're floating that belt right past Ember, and they're putting it on somebody else. I think Ember is due to get called up.
She might. She's so good.
Yeah.
I'm still supporting her though. So, but fine. Anyway, go ahead, Kent.
All right. You know, you already talked about Carmella, but that just means I don't have to talk about her. So I'm revoking that pick. I am going to go with the Drifter, Elias Sampson. Now, I've been watching this motherfucker for a long time now, and I can say he intrigues the hell out of me. He's never quite showed me everything that he can do, but I am telling you right now, there's a little bit of a Luke Harper there. And I'm not just talking about, like, looks like he's a big dude, he's got some moves, and he has this great gimmick that can really irritate. If the right booking were to get behind him, this man could be a mid-card champion. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, world heavyweight champion, but I could see him having the Intercontinental Championship at some point this year, or at least be in matches for it, if he gets the right booking, or he could be fired in 3 days. One or the other. So that's one pick. Another guy that I had, to turn the page over just a little bit, is Xavier Woods. Because he's the youngest of the New Day, and he also seems to have the best mic skills. Now, we all know Big E is hilarious, but I think as far as what WWE looks for, Xavier has better mic skills. That, along with a very unique look, being the youngest, decent moveset, New Day can't last forever. We all know this. We all acknowledge that at some point there's got to be a breakup. Xavier makes the most sense in a lot of ways, so why not push Xavier in a division that's kind of lackluster on SmackDown? Let's face it, the U.S., the mid-card's not well put together quite yet, so there's a lot could be done. Ty versus Xavier could be a fun feud. Finally, and I'm hesitant to say this because I really don't know if they'll be up before WrestleMania, but I'm really... No, fuck it. The Ascension. I have to cheer on my boys. I have to cheer them on, so fuck it. The Ascension. Because I openly said, these guys are going to be the next great tag team. This was like 2 years ago, and I've been proven wrong. I can't stop, okay? This is a little Brokeback Mountain action here. I'm not done loving the Ascension. They're my number three.
No good rhyme or reason why they're going to be it. It's just, that's it.
Mainly because Connor doesn't look like he's hit the gym in at least 6 months, and he's getting some nice man boobs. Connor also managed to piss off The Undertaker last year by poking him in the eye when they were doing the big pull-away between Brock and Undertaker. So if Connor's man enough to poke The Undertaker in the eye, I mean, really, they could go places. That's my rhyme and reasoning.
Good rhyme and reason.
Very, very, very good. So, Russ, what are your picks?
Well, I kind of went the same route that you did, except with the men, and I stuck with the mid card range that's going to blow up here. So my picks are these. My number one guy is actually Big E. I was on his.
Where is this going?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a right proper. I was on his wagon 2 years ago. Before they really started New Day up really good. He's great in the ring. He is very funny and charismatic. And New Day just really brought that out in him. And I think that now if they just break up New Day, because again, like Ken said, they can't last forever. When they break them up, I think Big E is going to be the guy that gets the push. He is ready for a big push into the Intercontinental ring, going for that belt. I guarantee by WrestleMania he will be going for that belt, or already have it, because he deserves it and he's awesome. As long as they maintain this, his way of being a person, just let him be Big E. Now, my second one also sticks with this, and man, I'm going back to this guy a lot today. He's my man crush this week, and now I'm going to hitch my wagon to him. It's Titus O'Neil. Okay? Again, like I said, Titus Brand, first, I really hated it, just like New Day. Hated it. But it's really gone, and they've changed it and tweaked it enough to make it a really good shtick, I guess. I love that he's connected to Apollo Crews. I think Titus O'Neil, his Titus Brand stock is on the rise, and it's going to pay dividends in a less than a year. I think we're going to be seeing him going again, Intercontinental area. I don't think it's going to be for the main event. I highly doubt that. And now, my next one, honestly, I was going to go with originally Tony Nese. Let's face it, Tony Nese is... he is star written all over him. He's awesome. Problem is, unless 205 dies all of a sudden, he's not leaving 205. So I'm not going to pick him because I haven't heard any rumors of 205 going away anytime soon. So I'm going to change my pick to not my number 3 pick, but my number 10 pick. That's right, Ty Dillinger. I'm going to go with Ty on this one. He is honestly my dark horse, which is kind of ironic, but if he
is... in what way?
Figure it out. but Ty, if he's done right on the main roster, he has babyface superstar written all over him. Give him some good feuds with some good heel guys. Get him moving on. And get him into that main event by WrestleMania. Oh, man, I could see him in a triple threat match with any of the guys in the mid-card, and it'd be a fantastic match. Notice how I said triple threat match. I'm really not sure if he could do it by himself. But I could see him in the title match for a triple threat match, and I think that'd be good. That's an impact. But it has to be done right. Is Ty Dillinger... it's weird, isn't it? Like, Ty Dillinger seems like he could be the next great thing or a complete and utter failure.
I think he's pretty much like Zack Ryder. For better or worse, like, the fans will get behind him. Like, I've liked Ty since I saw him in NXT. Like, I couldn't choose him because I've already chosen him a long time ago. Right. But yeah, I think Zack Ryder's the limit for the guy. Unless they strike lightning. Now, I have a question for you, though, Russ. Sure. You were talking about hitching a ride on Big E's wagon.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you think, you know, I mean, we go back to Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee days when Big E was there, right?
Yep.
That was good stuff. Do you think AJ Lee ever hitched her wagon to Big E?
No, I think Big E hitched his wagon. Well, no, I guess you're right. Yes, it would be her wagon to his, hitching it up to him. Yes, absolutely.
No.
I miss CM Punk.
That never happened.
Because CM Punk, come on. Once you go Big E and hit your wagon to him, CM Punk can't hook that.
Best in the world, Russ. There's a reason why he's called best in the world.
That's true.
Guys, you have to read AJ Lee's book to really understand the whole dynamic between her and Punk.
Have you actually read the book?
I have read the book.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my goddamn time.
No, it's really good. You get a lot of insight into kind of why she is the way she was, why some of the storylines the WWE presented to her, she basically told them to take a flying leap. It's just some of it hit too close to home. A lot of the stuff that I read in the book, I didn't know about her. Like, all of us, if we watched one SmackDown episode, we actually saw her and Punk's first kiss ever.
That was a downfall for poor AJ. I still won't read it.
I don't know. Punk's a friggin' rich dude, man. Like, they have a sweet place. She's pretty well set. If she's happy, good for her.
She's happy.
Now, was she the one that also had the mom who had a little, like, craziness going on in her life?
Her mom was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She actually also has bipolar.
Yeah.
I knew AJ did. I thought for sure it was the mom that also did. Maybe we've had this discussion before.
Yes. I think we have. On this podcast.
But anyways, so guys, let's go ahead and move on. I mean, great picks, great job. I agree with almost all of those choices, guys.
Now, can I just say real quick, as our people start to rise in the stock, because all nine of them definitely will, we need to remember these things.
Not the Ascension.
Ken's already out.
The Descension's more like it.
Oh, snap. I think we need to make sure every week we point out when they do something good. Just remember, try to. If we ever remember our picks in 3 weeks.
I completely agree. But, guys, we got a pay-per-view this weekend. Our listeners are really, really wanting to hear what our thoughts are on that. So, you know what that means, guys. It's time for our Backlash preview.
What about our commercial break? Oh, sorry.
But before we preview Backlash and recap SmackDown and give our listeners our picks, let's hear a word from this week's SmackDown and Backlash preview review sponsor. Ken, what's grinding your gears this week?
I'm so glad that you asked me that question. Now, nothing in particular has happened over the past week, but this has just been a pet peeve of mine for many, many years. Bitches that go on Facebook, and they're like, I just cooked the best meal because I am Italian. So you are a fifth-generation motherfucking Italian who've never been to Italy, your mother's never been to Italy, your grandmother's never been to Italy, but because you are somehow fucking Italian, somehow, some way, that makes you the great chef. Like, you have this magical power ingrained in you, and we all have friends. We all have friends. We've all seen this shit on social media. And it's, like, don't you just want to choke these people out? Like, you don't have a magical power. Okay, so, like, fucking French cuisine's nothing anymore? Like, if you're not Italian, you can't cook anymore? What the fuck, man? So, to anybody who thinks that you're special because you're Italian, fucking, in like, you don't even, you don't, you've never even met the person that actually came over on the fucking boat because it's so long ago, go fuck yourself. You can't cook any better than anybody else. Just saying. And that's what really grinds my gears this week.
I love the fact that the grind of gears has nothing to do with wrestling the 2 weeks in a row.
I also miss Santino Marella.
There it
Italy.
Is. Boom.
And
nice tie-in.
And there's our connection. And great points, Kent. So, guys, let's go ahead and discuss and preview the Backlash pay-per-view. Let's start with the pre-show match. We got Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English. I'm hoping that Aiden English takes this one. I mean, the guy needs a win, and really, I want to see him stop crying. I mean, he may still be crying from a couple weeks ago, but ultimately, at the end of the day, Ty Dillinger's winning this one, so my pick is Ty Dillinger. Russ, who you got? What's your thoughts?
Well, this must be a big news story of the week right there, because honestly, I had no clue that match was even going on. So, thanks for the big news update. I'm going to go with Ty, because this is the start of his rise, baby. I have to go with my guy. I'm hitching my wagon to him. He's my guy. So, Ty Dillinger definitely getting the win. This is the start of his uprise.
Kent?
Yeah, like Russ, I really didn't know this match was even happening. I'm just happy that Aiden English is getting a match. I'm also shocked that none of us picked Aiden English. In hindsight, I forgot all about him. We're dropping the ball here a little bit.
We are.
Yeah, they haven't built up Aiden enough to get a win quite yet, unless it's very cheaply, which I'd be cool with. And it's a pre-show, so I'm going to say his tie is up. It's Aiden English's time to shine. I'm picking Aiden.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the tag team titles. We have the Usos, or the Uggos, versus Breezango. Breezango? I always mispronounce their
Breezango.
Name.
We go with Breezango in this podcast. I don't care what they say.
We like to add the D to it.
Fair enough.
Gotta have the D.
We love the D here.
Gotta have the D.
Love the D here.
All right. So I have loved the build for this match. I love Fashion Files. I want more of it. And they just need to keep it coming. Which means I would love to see Breezango get the tag team titles. With that being said, though, the Uggos, I mean Usos, have been really good the past 2 weeks on the mic. Last night, I mean, the promo on SmackDown was really, really good. I am digging them right now in their current state. But ultimately, I have to vote Fashion Files. I have to vote Breezango. Kent, who you got?
I'm all in favor of keeping it coming. So, yeah, let's go with Breezango because I think the Usos have enough talent where they can hold their own feud with another team and make that feud without needing the belts. Breezango's in perilous shape right now. If they lose this, they could go right back to obscurity. So, in honor of the D, Breezango.
Russ?
Well, as we keep things coming, I also have to agree with both of you guys. Kent is nailed it on the head. The Uggos do not need the belts to keep themselves relevant. They have been killing it since they've had the belts. But they definitely don't need them. The Breezango definitely... I cannot see the Fashion Files being successful if they lose this match and don't have the belts. Can't we see? The Fashion Files, honestly, we could have at least another 4 to 5 months of it being great. Because since they're spreading out the pay-per-views now for each of the SmackDown and Raw, you can have them in feuds for 2 months at a time with just one group, have 3 or 4 Fashion Files on that group, and then switch to the next team. We're not going to be sick of the Fashion Files because they'll keep on changing it. It'll be fresh and new, or fresh and good. You're right. I saw Kent's face, and he's like, bullshit, and he's probably right. I know WWE could screw this up, but in a real chance, it could just be fresh every time. I'm going with Breezango on this. I think we're all in agreement.
Luke Harper doesn't agree with you.
Yeah, I know.
Luke Harper disagrees with you vehemently.
I agree with you. They're going to definitely screw it up at some point, and we're all going to hate the Fashion Files, but it's so good right now.
And we can't teach that.
No, we can't. And see.
All right, let's move on to... Well, let's go to this next match. We got Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin. Not much to say here. I predict a huge, huge beatdown on Sami Zayn by Corbin. I gotta go with Corbin for the win. Kent, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, you know I got Corbin. It doesn't matter. I had Corbin. I have Corbin. I'm going to pick Corbin for every match he's in from here on out the rest of 2017 because that's what Kent does. So I'm going to say he hits a deep six kind of quote-unquote out of nowhere to set up his feud with another man who hits things
out of nowhere.
So, yeah. I feel bad for Sammy. This is not the right first feud for him at SmackDown. Like, he needs a better person to work with. I kind of nominate him versus AJ.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be really good. Those two, their styles match. And that was no pun intended.
They don't styles clash?
No, they styles match. There was no pun intended in that. Their styles match really well. I think they'd be a great feud. But, I don't know. I agree with you guys. Baron should win this. But him being like the obvious choice kind of makes me think that Sammy's going to get the win on this one. So I'm going to go opposite of you guys. I'm taking Sammy on this. Baron doesn't need the win here. He's already good enough. Sammy desperately needs a win on SmackDown or something because he's just in limbo right now. They really need to do something with him. Sammy's too good to be wasted like this. Don't get me wrong. It's not a waste to fight against Baron. That was a bad choice of words. But if he loses this, his stock plummets. Baron loses it. he kind of stays where he is. So I'm going to go with Sammy on this one. He needs a win.
Is it weird that Baron's like in a position right now where he can afford to eat a pay-per-view loss and like it doesn't affect his stock because that's how limited they are on heels?
Yeah, it's...
Because Rusev's getting the next title shot on SmackDown. So Baron can definitely eat this loss and get his comeback win in a pay-per-view or two. Russ may be onto something, just not on Big E.
No. AJ was. Lee, not Styles. Okay.
Their Styles clash.
Moving on. Moving on. Let's talk about the former Wyatt family member match. Let's talk about Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper. I'm going with Eric Rowan for this one. I know you guys are going to be a little upset with this pick, with me for this pick, but hear me out. I read the recap for Talking Smack. Eric Rowan is seriously creepy. The sheep masks. I think Renee Young, her skin is still crawling. And as was mine. So I'm going with Eric Rowan for the win because... Dude is bent on revenge and is upset with Harper for breaking up the family. Russ, who you got?
Well, wasn't it the shakeup that broke up the family, really?
Fair enough.
Yes, Kat? You're pulling a Russ?
No, I really am.
I was like, oh, crap, what happened to my sound? He got me. I'm going to go with Luke. Because Luke has been screwed so hardcore in this last 3 months. Yep, just like that. That I am totally and utterly against any Luke losings. So I would almost hitch my wagon to Luke as the next big thing, but he should already be a big thing. It's embarrassing. So I can't really do that. And we've already hooked our wagon to him anyway. Luke, definitely. Screw Rowan.
And Kent?
Yeah, Rowan's winning this.
Good, damn it.
All right, here's the... Maybe it's because I'm not paying attention during SmackDown as of the past couple weeks. I didn't know this match was happening. I didn't know about the Aiden English-Ty Dillinger. I really didn't even give a second thought to Sammy versus Corbin. I only knew of, like, 4 matches happening. So, like, all this is really news to me. So, doing good here. Definitely going to go with Rowan because I think Luke is so unselfish that he wants to try to help Rowan get over. Yeah. I don't think Kratos is probably like, who do you guys want to win? And Luke's like, hey, let's just put Rowan over. They're like, okay.
Rowan needs the win, but so doesn't Luke really need the win too?
That's the cool thing with Luke. He's kind of Corbin. You can put Luke right back in the main event, and nobody's going to blink an eye, where you can't really put Rowan in... too high quite yet to be believable. Luke, though, is believable.
True. Now, isn't it sad for just... Can we talk SmackDown for 1 second? Isn't it sad that Randy Orton has not had a good match since Luke Harper?
I think that's kind of deserving. I mean, that's kind of... I say karma. It's karmic.
For what?
Well, for taking Luke Harper out of the main event scene at WrestleMania. Now, you know, creative puts Orton in matches and Orton has bad matches. I call that karma.
But shouldn't that have been karma against...
Against Bray, right?
AJ or Shane for kind of taking Luke out of the match, not Orton?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's karma for burning that house down.
I could see that.
That's more believable.
Then he's growing his hair out a little bit. Hmm. Did anybody notice this? Orton's growing his hair a little bit? A
little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been so bad. I'm sorry, his match, I don't remember who he fought, that's how bad it is, last night.
Baron.
Oh, it was Baron.
Baron.
Yeah, okay.
That's how bad that match
was. Baron, and I'm not blaming Baron at all. Baron, I've seen him put on great matches in the last couple of weeks. This was totally on Randy. It was bad. Randy just felt like he went out there, did his moves, and a couple of other spots for Baron, and that was it. Like, he just phoned it in. It was awful.
I think we have a rhyme and reason for that, but I'm pretty sure we'll get to that in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
There's a big reason why Randy's not bringing it right now, in my opinion.
I think I know what you're talking about, but yeah, let's go on. Sorry, I wanted to talk about that.
Okay. So before we talk about Orton and his match, let's go with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler. All right, so I really don't feel that Ziggler needs the win here. His purpose is to solely bring Shinsuke Nakamura into the main roster fold. This is what he's capable of. I'm just proving how good he is, and he's going against me because I'm good as well. So my pick is Shinsuke Nakamura. Russ, who you got?
Oh, it has to be Shinsuke. I can't see Dolph winning this. If Dolph wins it, everything they did to Shinsuke up to this point makes no sense. Why would you keep him off SmackDown for almost a month and a half to 2 months from any matches at all just to have him pay-per-view debut and lose? That's the way you bring someone's stock crashing down, not bringing it up. So if they're not going to have him in any matches, this has to be a win. And Dolph is selfless enough to put over Shinsuke like in a big way. So I'm definitely going with Shinsuke.
And Kent.
I think it goes without saying that probably I think we're all expecting this to be match of the night. And, you know, 100 times out of 100, Shinsuke's going to win this match. But what if a Raw writer who's been writing for Samoa Joe has infiltrated SmackDown and has taken on this storyline, and Dolph Ziggler somehow pulls out the upset win and keeps this feud going for another month? Think about it. It has some legs. It would piss everybody off, which WWE loves to do. I don't know how they quite do it, if he grabs the tights or something. I'm just saying, fuck it. I mean, they've already fucked Samoa Joe. They can fuck Shinsuke. They don't care anymore. If they can Dolph.
If it's cheap, 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 like if he wins in a cheap, cheap way, I'm okay with that. Because
cheap, cheap chase?
Yes, cheap, cheap chase. Oh, man, that's a terrible game. But if he wins really cheaply, I can see it working. That would be okay. But it has to be super cheap. It can't be like...
Doesn't that keep the feud going?
Yes, and that's the only other way I could see Dolph winning. If it's a pulling of the tights or anything like that, too, like just a little bit of cheating, it's not enough to make it. It's got to be like he goes for the balls, he gets him with the refs with something with the refs not looking, whatever, then I'm okay with it. It's got to be really big, like, holy crap, that's unfair.
Wouldn't that also like catapult Dolph up a little bit to make him a little higher up the card? Like,
absolutely.
Actually, in a way, doesn't this kind of help everybody involved? Like, Shinsuke comes off like pissed off that he lost. Yeah. Everybody's still going to be behind him.
Absolutely. He's not
going to
lose
anything.
You're right. I bet
this would actually do. That's what you're
putting. Yep, you did. Congratulations, Dolph's wedding.
I see your point, and I respect it. And I think it's a good idea, and it could definitely happen. I just don't see the point of them continuing the feud past this point.
Oh, I do. I'd love to see these guys fight. Holy crap.
This has match of the year quality, really.
Yeah. I think.
Plus, Kerry, I'll ask you this. I just want to counter your point. I'll ask you one simple question. Where was Samoa Joe at WrestleMania?
Sitting backstage. Yeah, all right. I see the point. Moving on now. Now I'm sad. All right, moving on.
As you should be.
All right, U.S. title. We got Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
Match of the night written over too?
It really does. And also, I think AJ Styles can make the U.S. title great again. I really think he has the potential to do it. So I'm picking Styles for this match just for that reason alone. Kent, who do you got?
AJ is not coming out of this victorious. AJ is not winning the belt from KO. KO may be holding that belt until Jericho returns. I think KO is on the verge of having one of the better long runs in past 10 years of WWE. If they don't fuck this up, KO is strong enough with his promo abilities, in-ring ability to make anything really work. Right now, AJ is a great opponent, but the feud hasn't... Once again, maybe it's because I haven't been paying much attention to SmackDown, but has this feud underwhelmed you so far in what they presented us, aside from us we all know in our minds that this match is going to be good because of the two guys. But from a viewer perspective of watching the feud unfold, has it underwhelmed?
Yes.
It's underwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, with those two, it's definitely underwhelming.
I mean, it's barely been, showcased. We've gotten, maybe one segment this week that really, really solidified anything, and it really kind of half-assed that it at that point. So, yeah, this is badly booked from the beginning.
I don't know if it's badly booked, because these two in a match, I'll be honest with you, until you mentioned it again, I completely forgot about this match. So, that's how badly it's been booked. But thinking about it, this is, again, has potential to be match of the night. AJ doesn't need the belt. So AJ isn't winning this thing. I'm going to go with KO, and here's the reason why. AJ is the perfect foil for Kevin Owens to get a win over to solidify his championship run. So beating AJ is going to be huge for Kevin Owens. I think Kent's nailed this on the head. KO is holding this belt unless something else comes along. KO is definitely holding the belt until Jericho comes back, at least minimally. Could even be longer. And then AJ is just going to be the one to raise the belt up. Like, holy crap, AJ fought for it. AJ's awesome. AJ's world title contender. He's fighting for it. Oh, wow, Kevin Owens beat him. Holy crap, that belt's awesome. And all I can do is say this. Randy Orton needs to lose that belt so quickly. And I don't care if it's to Baron or AJ. Hell, I don't care if it's to gender. But Randy needs to lose the belt. Because without AJ, hasn't SmackDown just... As AJ's not been the top guy, hasn't SmackDown sucked?
All right, that's something I wanted to bring up is AJ's promo. Did anybody pay attention to AJ's promo? Because this week, his promo, We've known AJ for all this time as a face until his WWE run where he started off as face and then went heel. And all of a sudden, everything clicked as a heel. I really feel it was way too soon to have turned him face because his heel promos were so good, being the cocky little man, the face that runs the place, the champ that ran the camp, and now he's just, what? We gonna fight right here and what's this area? All right, we gonna get this done. Yeah, fuck yeah. No, it don't. Yeah, you're catering to the lowest common denominator, but it's not good. I thought it was really bland as hell compared to what AJ Styles has shown us over the past, 14 months or 16 months, whatever. Someplace in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, SmackDown has been garbage since Randy became champ, basically.
It's been garbage since the month before WrestleMania.
True, true. But it was going downhill at that point. Ever since, let's just face it, ever since AJ hasn't had the belt, it's been going down in quality. AJ needs the belt, and he needs to be a heel.
Yeah, it's almost like there was a flip-flop, and Raw's halfway decent now, and SmackDown isn't.
Well, SmackDown's halfway decent, but it used to be all decent. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I used to care about watching SmackDown, excited for it. The past two... last week I watched it the next day. This week I watched it as it was happening as I was playing ESO, which meant I really wasn't watching it. It was background noise.
Right. I was playing a video game, too, the entire time. And I fast-forwarded a lot, too.
Wait a second. How did we not get the line in?
Day one is H. Oh my! Because I can't believe we talked.
We dropped the ball here.
Oh my god! How did we not talk about that?
I don't know. I blame everybody that's not me.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed.
That's not the only thing we dropped the ball on. But I think I can remedy that by introducing the next match we need to discuss. But first, I got to say one thing. Dive. Let's talk about...
Let's save it a little bit.
Let's talk about Orton versus Jinder Mahal, shall we?
Talk about a dive in quality.
So, I want to see Orton retain. I'm not buying Jinder as number one contender. I haven't since he won the thing. I'm still not sure why this was chosen. So, with that being said, I go Orton. Kent?
I tried my best. I really gave my effort to trying to like Jinder. I'm like, hey, they're really trying to push a young guy who got his shit together, got his ass in shape, and put in the work. And I really wanted to see him succeed. The reality is sometimes you're just not where you need to be at that level. And Jinder, maybe he will be in 6 months. Maybe he will be in a year. Maybe they say, you know what? We're not going to base this all on the freaking country that your nationality. Maybe they say, hey, you're just going to have this gimmick and just work it. And maybe we grow to accept Jinder. Maybe he learns a few moves. That time is not now. Jinder's time is up. Get the fudge out. Out. I hit my mute button.
And Russ, who you got?
Yeah, I have to agree with Ken. I tried like hell. And AJ versus Jinder was a perfect example for me to be like, okay, let's see what happens. Because AJ doesn't have bad matches. Now, the match wasn't bad. Okay, I'll say that right now. It wasn't bad. It was decent for a TV match. But holy hell, AJ could not carry Jinder completely. It was okay. He did his best. But Jinder is boring as fuck in the ring. And put that with him going up against Randy, who Randy has just been phoning it in since he got the belt, has been utter garbage. Now, Kent, you said there was something you wanted to talk about real quick about Randy. Randy and or why Randy's been phoning it in. Is it because he's going up against Jinder and it's BS?
I think Randy sees this as beneath him. Mm-hmm. And he's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's right. He's at a point where we know who Randy Orton is. He's still cocky. He's still arrogant. He's not like he was when he was in his early 20s. But Randy was taught by Flair, by Triple H. And he knows that this is beneath him, especially as world champion. And when Randy gets bored, we know what happens. Look at how good Randy was when he was into the Wyatt family angle. Look at how much he's not been into it since that god-awful Mania match of fuckery. And then the House of Hoors, and now this. Do you blame the guy for phoning it in? Because I don't. Like, I know it's cool to say Randy Orton sometimes, and what the fuck ever. You know what? When the guy's on and locked in, he's actually a really good legendary wrestler. He has zero fucks to give right now. He just wants to move on to the next feud, and WWE should have known better. You don't do this to Randy.
Yeah, he could have done it to a lot of other people. AJ would have accepted it, you know. But here's the problem I have. Randy is the champion. Okay, yes, they can. This is beneath him. Let's face it. We all agree it's beneath him. But he should have taken the ball and run with it. It's not like he's going to lose. Oh, by the way, my pick is Jinder. Because fuck Randy. Because Randy sucks as champion this time around. So I'm picking Jinder so we can have a Rusev Jinder match. And yes, can we all say that this has the potential of being the worst match of the night?
Yes, absolutely. It definitely does. But I got a I have a question for both of you. So we had the number one contenders match for this match at Backlash. Who should have won, in your opinion, Russ? Who do you think should have won instead of Jinder?
Instead of Jinder? Oh my god, I don't remember who the hell was even in the match. So, someone want to remind me who's in the match?
What match are we talking about?
The one
about
that
here?
Got them to this point. So Raleigh was in it. Jinder.
Oh my god, Rowan was in that. And
Harper. There you go. Harper should have won it. There, done. I don't even care.
Dolph was in it. Yep. And somebody else.
Harper.
Wasn't Sami Zayn also in this?
Yeah, like Corbin wasn't even in it. AJ wasn't in it. Yeah, it was. Oh god, that night was.
Harper should have won it, hands
down. God, why was Sin Cara in it?
That was a long time ago. Wow, it feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? It wasn't that long.
It was, and yeah, it was like 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke Harper should have won because Randy liked working with Luke, and they had great chemistry. And Luke doesn't mind losing. Luke would have given Randy a great match, and it would have kept AJ off the sideline a little bit from the main event, and that's fine, But if you're going to take AJ away from the main event, you better have somebody who can step up and deliver, and that's not what they did here. Can Jinder also have a different move other than the goddamn camel clutch and, like, I don't know, call it the hinderer?
They should. Now, okay, right? You guys watch the match, like, pay attention to it at all? And
which one?
Jinder versus AJ.
Kinda.
Not really.
Okay, I wish you guys did. Watch, there's one point that really just drove me nuts about Jinder. Every time that he put AJ out on the side of the ring, he would go down, wait for a second for AJ to flip over him instead of doing it naturally. It was so played out. Like, he would, like, sit there, AJ looks like he's ready to go, and then Jinder's like, oh, shit, and then goes down. He did it twice.
And I'm, in all fairness, Jinder spent a good amount of time in a three-man band where he didn't get to work with people the likes of AJ Styles, so this pace may be a little bit new to him, is the best
I'm not trying. I'm not blaming Jinder. I give him credit. He's taking the ball and doing what he can with it. It's just not enough. It's not even close to being enough. He is. They should have started him main eventing in the mid-card. Okay, I could accept that. This was too much. It's too much. He's in over his head. And if he wins, holy crap. But I'm going with Jinder for the win.
Fair enough. I mean, just sounds like this whole pay-per-view has a potential of, with the exception of a few matches, being a complete and total letdown.
No, there should be three matches that are good. I'm in for three matches. I'm in for three.
Actually, I'm in for four. I think Baron versus Sammy's going
to
be
good. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm in for five. I'd love to see Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English. I think they could really do some stuff.
It's the bigger matches, meaning the Orton match, yep. And then the other match that we haven't even talked about yet. Those are going to really ruin things.
Yes.
And now that you mention it, let's before we get into the preview of that match, let's go to the namesake segment of the show. Guys, it's time for Were We Not Entertained? This segment takes one of the big segments of the week and asks the question of whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, we selected the SmackDown Women's Contract Signing as our segment of the week. I don't know about you guys, but I was not entertained by this segment. I thought this segment showed how sloppy everyone in the division was on the mic, except for Carmella, who didn't say anything. And how some of the women in the division really are just almost phoning it in at this point. I mean, it says something when it takes James Ellsworth to even remotely save a segment. So, yeah, guys, I was not entertained. Russ, how about you?
Nope, go to Kent, because my decision hasn't been made yet. Go to Kent.
Oh, Kent.
Why, yes. I, on the other hand, was surely entertained. I am left wondering, does Natalya do her hair to try to look more like a cat?
I thought the same.
Is that a thing? Like, is she trying? Is she trying to be like a Khajiit? I don't know. Like, I just, because I rewatched it like 2 hours before we started this, because I was like, what the fuck has she been doing with her hair? Anyways, yes, I completely agree with a lot of things that Carrie said, but, and this is a large badonkadonk but, Naomi has really changed her game, and I'm 100% believing that because of Naomi, Sasha did not come to SmackDown because they would not dare say that she was going to snatch Sasha bald. That shit would not be happening. So that's why Sasha's still on Raw. And this is why, like, Naomi was really funny. Like, Becky didn't bring it. Becky's normally way better. Charlotte, she knows how to raise her voice a little bit and pretend like that's cutting a promo and adding emotion. She still doesn't get it. Like, it's embarrassing that you're Ric Flair's daughter and you still don't get it. Natalya looks like a cat. Carmella didn't say anything. But really, James Ellsworth, man. I was more entertained the second time watching it and just hearing him say, duh. It cracked me up. And this is where James Ellsworth belongs. Like, he never belonged in the Dean and AJ thing. It was a good introduction. This is where
he belongs.
He's going to flourish. Yep. And this is why Carmella is going to be the world champ by the end of the year. I found it F-A-B-O-L-U-A-S.
Sure. I don't remember how she spells it. Oh, man.
And Russ, have you made your decision?
I just swayed Russ's mind.
I think so. Here's the positives. James Ellsworth was beautiful in this. It was fantastic. He almost won over me. He almost won me over with Man Crush of the Week. But you can't beat Titus in a suit wrestling. So it was really close. But here's my problem. While Naomi is great, she feels like she's become an afterthought in this. And that's a major problem I have. She was white hot at WrestleMania. And I know that I'm saying that out loud. It sounds really racist. But I mean by how hot she was coming out of WrestleMania. Fans.
I thought she looked good too.
Yes, but I mean the fans. The fans were eating it up. They loved her. She's been great. And now instead of giving her a one-on-one feud match at the pay-per-view, which she clearly deserves, and she can really showcase her stuff, they throw her into a three-on-three garbage tag match that is...
It's historic.
Well, yeah, it probably is. At least they haven't said that. And she's kind of the afterthought. She should be in the forefront for this. The afterthought, and she's the afterthought because of this. Are we all agreeing that someone's a mastermind behind this?
I think it just comes down to everything. Once Charlotte was traded, it was like demanded. Some clause was demand that Charlotte become the epicenter of the women's division. I don't think anybody's necessarily orchestrating anything. I just think that the problem is that they're trying so hard to appease Charlotte and make her become some big deal, and the fans are actually buying into it. If you listen to the reactions of fans, the fans are buying into it, which tells me the fans are mildly retarded, whatever. But that's the problem. Naomi should be front and center of this, and Charlotte's instead taking all of her glow, and James Ellsworth is killing her flow.
It's true. Well, the reason I say this, from the beginning, the welcoming committee. Okay, first of all, Natty, Carmella, and...
Tamina.
I'd say it's Tamina.
You know, the daughter of Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yes. Tamina, they aren't capable of being a formidable stable, which makes you think there's got to be somebody else behind it. So that takes away that's one of the things that takes away from Naomi. So then I started thinking, okay, so who's the mastermind? So there's only three choices. Naomi. It's got to be either Naomi, Charlotte, or Becky. Now, Becky seems to be the one that they were all leading towards, but now I'm beginning to think, no, it's not Becky, although she at least makes some sense. But here's my problem with Becky being the leader. Why did she wait until Backlash to say, ha, 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 I'm the leader of the Welcome Committee? Who the fuck cares? At that point. So Becky is stupid. If Charlotte is the leader, that's fucking asinine. And WWE is retarded. And there is absolutely no way they're going to be able to backtrack this and make it make sense if Charlotte was the leader. And then there's Naomi. Naomi makes sense. If they make Naomi the leader of the welcoming committee, it makes a lot of sense. But again, that questions, then she becomes heel. Which makes no sense. Maybe I'm crazy, but isn't she a natural babyface? And you don't...
She is. She's a natural born entertainer for the fans, and that makes her a babyface.
Right. And isn't that in few demand? Like, there are so few people who can do natural babyface, and she is one of them. You don't take her away from that. And then that leaves nobody's the mastermind, and the welcome committee is the welcome committee, and they're just garbage. Get rid of them, because Carmella needs to move on.
Well, Russ, let me offer up two suggestions.
Sure.
We could have a higher power here named Vince McMahon who could be behind it. We could be the Undertaker. Or maybe they're not necessarily the welcoming committee. Maybe they're the Yakuza. And that's how we introduce Asuka.
Asuka.
Think about it. That's a pretty damn cool way of bringing her in. She's the mastermind, and all of a sudden, instead of being a cat, she's now like an Oriental breed.
It makes sense if she loses at Chicago. I don't think she's losing at Chicago.
I think she is. Her time is up.
Is she at the record yet, or no?
I think she's passed it, isn't she?
She killed the record.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Then, yeah, maybe she will. Because they're definitely waiting for some kind of record for her. So I knew that much. I wasn't sure if she was past it or not yet.
She's already historic, Rush. She's the first Asian female NXT women's champion.
That's true. That is historic. Yeah. I'm going win. Oh, we haven't done the match yet. I'm sorry.
No, we haven't.
No, but since you went there.
I'm not Kentertained. I wasn't Kentertained. Even though Kent was, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm
going ahead.
Boo.
So now that we've determined whether or not we were entertained by the contract signing, let's talk about the match. So, Naomi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch versus the welcoming committee, possibly with Asuka as our mastermind. I like that theory. I'm on board with it. So, I don't have much to say about this match other than I'm picking the obvious choice with Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky taking the win.
Even if there's a mastermind? Even if there's a mastermind?
We're not going to see her until probably SmackDown. The following that
I got
that
you, I got
following
you.
Tuesday night. What do you All got, right. Russ?
If there is a mastermind, there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be the welcoming committee. If there is no mastermind, then let this die right now, and it'll be Becky, Charlotte, and what's her name? Naomi. That's her name. That's it. I don't care enough either way, so I don't give a shit.
So, Kent, what do you got?
I hope our audience is shielding their face from getting sprayed with glue goo, because I'm about ready to blow your minds. This is going to be the main event of Backlash.
Well, okay.
There's nothing.
There's nothing else, you're right.
They're not putting gender last, I don't think. This is the perfect opportunity for them to say, we're every bit as cool as Raw. They've made a big deal out of this angle, bigger than anything else they've been doing on SmackDown the past 4 to 5 weeks. If they want to make something into a main event, why not do this? If they're going to do this, they may have some bigger reveal. Yeah, I like the idea of, you know what, we're going to see Asuka debut, and it's going to be main event, and there you go. It's all over, in your hair, on your face, everywhere. Clue goo.
Clue goo. There is definitely a glow.
Wow. And with that, all I have to say is, I like it. I think it's... I'd like to see Asuka make her debut. I think it's, well, it's about dang time. That's my opinion. But guys, enough looking back. Let's look forward, shall we, and discuss what we're looking forward to next week in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. I, myself, am looking forward to seeing how weak or possibly strong Cesaro looks next week. Kent, what are you looking forward to next week?
You know, since I'm already saying Asuka, I'm definitely not going to go with Asuka. I'm going to say, I want to see what Apollo Crews or Gold Dust. Shit. No, they're not going to give Gold Dust any time. Forget about that. I'm curious to see what they do with the... Oh, they're not going to give... I'm curious to see what the Ascension does next week, because I hitched my wagon to them. Wait, can I also point out, we start a segment about Braun, and then he's out 6 fucking months.
I know, right? What the fuck?
We're horrible human beings. Yeah.
I don't think we had anything to do with that.
Oh, no, we did.
That was all Roman Reigns' fault. We are blaming Roman. And Russ, what are you looking forward to next week?
I am looking forward to how they are going to fuck up the main event in SmackDown after Randy retains and it still sucks balls.
Fair enough.
I should have finished with this. I apologize. Because there's no way in hell Jinder's continuing this feud somehow. This is dead on arrival at Backlash, unless he wins somehow.
Well, guys... Before we say goodbye to our listeners for another week, I say we should play our favorite game to kind of cheer ourselves up.
Stroking my beard?
No!
Stroking my...
Thinking long...
Oh, that mute button.
Thinking long and hard.
No. It is time for Guess the Wrestler, guys.
Oh, second favorite
and
game.
And I believe this week,
I like stroking my ego.
Right.
And I believe this week, guys, it's my turn to choose a wrestler, right?
Yes.
All right. So before we get started with my pick for Guess the Wrestler, here are the rules. One of us, in this case me, picks a wrestler, and the other two have to guess who that wrestler is by using 9 questions, and then they get 2 guesses. So, guys, let's kick this thing off.
Hold on, I got to cheat. Go ahead.
Okay. So, what are the normal questions again? Refresh my memory.
Male or female, current or former?
Female, former, go.
Female, former. All right. Oh, you want me to go, Kat?
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, former, okay, big question. What was her main, where was she mainly stayed? WWE, WCW, what? ECW?
Mainly WWE.
Did she ever hold the Women's or Divas Championship?
She has held both the Women's Championship and the Divas.
Okay, you said former, but let's be more specific here. Was she Attitude Era or 2000s or even earlier than that?
2000s.
Okay. Is she currently married to a wrestler or a former wrestler? It's not Beth Phoenix. It's not AJ Lee.
She is not.
Well, what did she, well,
I eliminated that.
Once she had to do that, I was like, okay, it's definitely not AJ Lee. I didn't even think about Beth. You're right. Man, all right.
Russ, why are you cheating?
I'm not cheating, actually. I was doing
Russ,
something else.
How come I can see a screen reflection in your glowy face?
Well, it's because I was definitely doing something, but it wasn't cheating.
I did that earlier.
Let's just say I had to think long and hard about it.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing anymore.
No, we're not. All right. Okay, my question is this. Can you tell us how many times she held the belt?
She was a 3-time women's champion and 2-time divas champion.
Damn the 2000s.
The fuck?
Yeah.
All right, so women's indicates divas came out around 2003 to 2005 range.
Yeah.
Women's was before that. So we're talking about...
I'm not sure about this one because this is where I stopped watching wrestling.
All right. Predominantly, what color hair did she have during her wrestling days?
Brunette.
Oh. Not who I was thinking.
No, that leaves us with Molly.
Molly.
And Victoria.
Man, all right. Was she a part of a stable with guys? Let's go with that. Let's eliminate Molly right here. Was she a Holly?
No.
Okay, there goes Molly.
Has she wrestled for TNA in the past?
No, she has not.
There goes Victoria.
Yep, and now I'm out. I had to cheat. Must cheat!
You have to cheat so you don't lose an imaginary game.
Yes! I can't lose! We have to win.
You stay classy.
How many more questions do we have?
3.
Oh, we still have 3? Holy crap. All right.
Don't blow it. Blow it.
I'm going to totally blow it. All right.
Close your eyes and suck it out of a hose.
Was she in any notable feuds that like we'd be like, we would have known, holy crap, yes, definitely.
Yes.
Can you tell us who with?
Yeah, I think I can without completely giving it away. Some of the names mentioned: Beth Phoenix, Maria, Ashley, Mickey James.
All right. I have a good question, because this is the era of Playboy. Did she ever pose in Playboy? And that's like half the
women's division. That is half the women's division. That's not even cheating. That's like...
She did not.
Oh.
She.
Damn, there goes anybody I would have had a guess for. All right, I'm out.
Okay. Does her in-ring name begin with a vowel or a consonant?
Consonant.
God damn it!
There goes Eve!
Yeah.
I don't even have a guess. Like, she's completely eliminated everyone I would have thought of from the 2000s on.
Has she eliminated Lita, though?
Yes, because she said brunette, and Lita was mostly a redhead. That's who I thought, too. I was like, it's got to be Lita, but Lita is redheaded, so she lied to us if she's...
Okay. All right. Jazz.
Did Jazz hold it that many times?
No. That's the number is what's really throwing me off. Five title reigns is mind-blowing, and then she also mentioned Mickey James already, which was an obvious pick. Wow. So this goes to show how bad women's wrestling was for like a decade, because this was a predominant champion. Russ is still trying to figure out
totally
who it is on the computer.
I'm totally cheating.
Russ, no need to cheat.
You got it? I'll let you go because...
No! I got nothing. Because not Maria.
No.
It's not Christy Hemme. Christy Hemme is a redhead. It's not Ashley Massaro. It's not Trish, it's not Lita, it's not Jazz. It's not Victoria. It's not Molly.
Yeah,
Is this funny to you, Carrie? Like, that we're like, is this like somebody obvious that we really should know?
It really is, and I'd like to give you guys a hint.
Okay.
If you ask me if she ever held any other role other than wrestler during her time with the WWE, that may give you a hint as to who she is.
I'm listening.
She was not only just women's champion, divas champion, she was also a valet.
It's not Keebler. It's not Tori Wilson. It's not Vicky Guerrero. Although Vicky would have been awesome as shit.
Great choice. I still don't know.
All right, I'm going to give you one more hint. She has been linked to one of Russ's all-time man crushes.
Kurt Angle?
Okay.
Stephanie McMahon? Because Kurt Angle's the only person I can think of as my all-time man crush, other than Seth.
Think abs, Russ.
Oh!
Wow, Russ just got the...
Well, I know who it is now. At least she's talking about Morrison there. I can't remember the girl.
Nope, go for it, Russ. Same first letter.
Same first level?
She did the...
Letter as who?
First letter as Morrison. She also did the split. She used to wear a thong and do a split on the ring ropes with Joey Mercury and Johnny Abs.
I don't know.
Oh my god, Mick Foley did an angle with her and made her such a bitch, and he became like such a great baby face.
I don't know.
It's six letters.
I still don't know.
Kent.
Russ?
Paige? Is it Paige? No, Paige wasn't with Morrison.
Russ, who does all the voices for Looney Tunes?
I don't know.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Mel Blanc.
Okay, that still didn't help me. Melina! Oh! She held it 5 times. Are you kidding me?
Yes. And also, I believe she is currently holding the Maryland Championship Wrestling Women's Championship.
I'm going to say Carrie got us this week because she gave us a
week. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you definitely got us. I would have never thought Melina. Holy crap. I wouldn't even thought she held it.
Of course, you really didn't get it after Mel Blanc either, though, so there's something to be said for you.
Well, once you said Mel, I was like, Melina. That's where it hit me. But I can't believe. I thought once or twice she held the belt. I never knew she held it that many times. Holy shit.
It was a rotation for a bit.
Yeah, pretty much was, if I remember correctly. I don't know, that was around the time I stopped watching, too.
Yeah, that's when I stopped watching, so.
Oh, we should have Russ, next time she picks a female, we got definitely asked, has she banged Batista?
Yes.
That would have been everything.
Would have been the answer right there. At least I can see her visually. I just couldn't think of her name. I was like, I don't know her fucking name.
But guys, and when you gave me Mel, I got it. I'm never going to pick Melina again, so that's not going to be a valid question.
You have no idea about Batista's history and banging chicks on the roster.
Batista's a man.
He's pretty legendary in that regard.
Not as legendary as CM Punk, though.
Not as legendary as Mickie James. Her track record's pretty fucking impressive.
With the girls?
It's like little names and big names.
Is she a House of
and
Whores?
And her nude photos.
What? Is she a House of Whores?
Oh my god, yes. You've seen her pics, the ones that were leaked like 15 years ago. They still hold up today. Just earlier today, they held up really nice. I mean! Alright.
Alright. So, there you have it, everyone. Another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained has come to an end. Be sure to check out our blog at 9news.com/wrestling and on social media at 9... Well, Facebook, 9deuce blog, and at official 9deuce on Twitter, and a few other Tumblr.
And Instagram.
Any other announcements, Kent?
Why, yes, thank you for asking. Not only do we, I don't know what the fuck Russ is doing. Jesus Christ, stop with that nonsense. All right, so we have the NXT preview coming up, because there's an NXT show that nobody cares about coming up Saturday. Then there's Backlash preview. That's a show nobody cares about. And all older wrestling fans from the mid-2000s will appreciate that this Friday, May 19th, that's a date that everybody should be familiar with, we will be doing a horror blog. Why is May 19th relevant? Because they built a whole angle for Kane based around See No Evil. It was a great angle. So, we all remember May 19th, Nightmare on Elm Street horror blog coming out. So, it's going to be a great weekend of blogging at the 9deuce website.
Awesome. Everyone, make sure you check that out. Again, that website is 9deuce.com. And with that, for Russ, Kent, myself, we say have a great night, everyone, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, everyone!
I'm going to have Steve on Monday. I forgot to mention that. Poor Steve, he got left behind.
That won't be the first time.